don't know why anybody would want to have one.
I don't want one. I keep my eye out.
I saw big old lizard kind of.
Did you?
Yeah. And we got a couple of them. We got a couple about that.
Hey, Clayton.
Good.
We have one in the house. It's a little blue tail lizard. And I tell him it's still alive, or he and I chased it on my own, like, shake down on the sofa. Chasing it, or he killed it. So I said, after he died, I said, if a lizard gets in my house. Well, I'm getting better.
You all right?
Good.
And there was one that was.
Well, you and I were first pair.
It was not a blue tail, it was a brown face.
Second one. Soon as he gets done, you start.
Okay. Now we're ready. So I call my dog, and my dog, okay, well, I'm at the blue tail.
Good evening, everyone. Our first song selection that we'll sing this evening, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. This is song number 17 in our hymnals. All People That on Earth Do Dwell, song 17.
All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear, his praise foretell. Come ye before him and rejoice. The Lord ye know is God indeed. Without our aid, he did us make. We are his flock, he doth us feed. And for his sheep he doth us take. Oh, enter then his gates with praise. Approach with joy his courts unto. Praise, laud, and bless his name always. For it is seemly so to do. For why the Lord our God is good, his mercy is forever sure, his truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age endure.
The song that we'll sing before we're led in our opening prayer this evening, Be With Me, Lord. This is song number 40 in our hymnals. Be With Me, Lord. Song number 40. After this song, we'll go to our God in prayer.
Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the wounds of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then if dangers threaten, if storms of trial burst above my head, if flashing seas
to feel, and thou art.
Let us pray. This evening, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again, thanking you for the blessing of this day. And Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for letting us go out on our jobs and different places of work and come back here this evening to study another part of your word. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that are sick throughout the land. Those, Lord, I want to pray for those mentioned on our prayer list here and throughout the world. Lord, just praying, Lord, that you go by and touch them, heal them where they need healing, and build them up where they're torn down, and strengthen them where they're weak, and that they might appoint at that next appointed time. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that are traveling. Lord, just praying, Lord, that you give them traveling grace to and from their destination, if it be thy will. Again, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those, Lord, that's overseas fighting in wars, rumors of wars. Just praying, Lord, that peace might prevail over in that land. Again, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those, Lord, that's in the storms, the floods, and different avenues of disasters around the world. Lord, just praying, Lord, that they can find the food, shelter, and clothing that they need, that they might continue on with their lives. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for Brother Doug as he bring us a lesson, Lord, that we might gather much from it and take it out to others and tell them what it is for us to do. Again, Heavenly Father, most of all, I want to thank you for your Son who came and died for us all, and through his death that we all might have that right to a true life. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our next song selection this evening, Sing to Me of Heaven. This is song 583 in our hymnals. Sing to Me of Heaven, song 583.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace, from the toils that by me it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a fairer region among the angel throng, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven tenderly and low, till the shadows for me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement. The song that we will sing after our lesson, that number is 368. Jesus Paid It All. Song number 368 is an encouragement hymn that we'll sing later this evening. While you have your songbooks handy, please turn them to our next song selection. That number is 249. How precious is the book. This song is not going to be on our slides tonight. How precious is the book, song number 249. How precious is a book divine, by inspiration given. Prize a lamp, its precepts shine, to guide my soul to heaven. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, lamp to my feet and a light to my way, to guide me safely home. It sweetly cheers my drooping heart in this dark vale of tears. Light to my life it still imparts and quells my rising fears. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, lamp to my feet and a light to my way, to guide me safely home. This lamp through all the tedious night of life shall guide my way, till I behold the clearer light of an eternal day. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, lamp to my feet and a light to my way, to guide me safely home.
Okay, whoa, that's loud. And I'm going to adjust this. Sorry about that. Let's see what we do. Okay, we're going to start with this sheet tonight. Is there anyone that does not have this sheet? Okay, one. Okay, let me bring one over to you. Also, James, would you mind giving everyone one of these, please? When we think about salvation, I want to ask a question that may seem too simple, but I think it's important, especially as we begin this study a little bit deeper tonight. Thank you. When you think about salvation, what does the word salvation mean to you?
Saved.
To be saved, okay. What are we saved from? We're saved from our sins. What are we saved to?
Well, we're also saved from death.
True. What kind of death?
Eternal death.
Okay, eternal death. Or maybe spiritual death?
Spiritual death.
Okay. And we're saved to? We're saved from sin. We're saved, where does that take us? We're saved to what?
Heaven.
Heaven, eternal life, right? Now, sometimes, the reason I'm saying this and talking about it as we begin this study about sin a little deeper tonight is because a lot of times people, they talk about being saved, but they don't really have a concept of what they're saved from and where they're saved to. I'm just saved. I've been saved, right? And so it's important that as we look at this study tonight that we understand our relationship with God in regards to the sin that takes place in our lives. At the top of the page, of course, we have the word God. God is the core to having a relationship. That's what we want, is to have a relationship with God. And it says, God is holy and cannot stand evil and sin. Let's look at a couple of these scriptures tonight. Let's go to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Well, Leviticus chapter 11, verses 43 through 45. Do not render yourselves detestable through any of the swarming things that swarm, and you shall not make yourselves unclean with them, so that you become unclean. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy, and you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth. Let's read, okay, 45. For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. Of course, Leviticus here is giving us the law. But the point that we want to see is that God is telling them not to sin. But what does it say about him? What does he say about himself?
He's holy.
He's holy. What does it mean to be holy?
Well, to be consecrated, set apart.
Yes.
That's one of the things.
Okay, to be consecrated. Consecrated from?
Sin.
From sin. But does God, God never had sin, so, okay. If God is holy, that means he has no sin. Right? He has no evil, no wrong in him. God is holy. And he says that twice here, that he says, for I am holy. We understand then that God is without sin and is right, I mean, has that holiness within him. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. Now we come back to the word sanctification, which was mentioned just a little bit ago. Sanctified means to be made holy. You've been sanctified, you've been made holy. And it says here, without sanctification, no one will see the Lord. Well, why would that be? How are we, if we're going to, how, what kind of relation, what kind of situation do we have to have in our life or to be able to stand in one's presence who cannot stand sin?
We have to be sin-free.
We have to be sin-free. Okay? So that's what he's telling us here. If we want to be with God, we have to become like God. One more passage here, 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So God wants us to be like him. Now, there's a problem. As you go down in your seat, this is what I would, you know, as I would be reading and studying with someone about this, I would go down through the middle here to begin with. There's a problem, and that's sin. That's our sin. And so when you think about our sin, let's look at a couple passages here. We won't look at all of these, but right for now, let's go to Matthew 15, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 15, verses 16 through 20. Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things yet proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. So he begins to list sins here. I would say to people as we get started here is that I'm not making any accusations to you, but I want you to look at these things that we're going to be reading about and see if you find, you don't have to tell me, but you know, anything particular, unless you want to, that do you see any of these things in you? Okay? What you want, okay, back, not back to them, but I mean, but generally, what we want to do is help people to realize that they sin in some way and somehow, and that sin separates us from God. Let's go to the Galatian passage, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And these other passages are excellent too, but just for time's sake tonight. Galatians chapter 5. Starting in verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, as we look through these things, we have to honestly look at ourselves and say, are anything these things ever happened to me? Have I ever been and done any of these things? We're going to look at a minute, I'll tell them. What's that?
I like the way to phrase that, the second way you phrase that. I hear this a lot. I watch crime shows and judge shows and things like that.
Okay,
and
please.
They say, well, I'm sorry for what happened. It's not what happened. It's what we did.
What we did, yeah.
Yeah, this is what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Idolatry doesn't happen to me.
No.
I commit.
It's what I have done.
Done.
That's
these
right.
Not things that happened to me. These are things that I've done.
That's a good point. Very good. Things that I
that's
have
what
done.
Makes us guilty. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right. And I like what it says here in the text, and things like these. So there's, you know, anything that's relative and like these things at all represent, I mean, happens that I something that I have done. And when we look at Adam and Eve here in a little bit, we're going to see how important it is to recognize how many sins it took for Adam and Eve to be separated from God. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. So when we look at these things about sin, and these things that are sin are, I guess, what we would call unholy, things that we need to be sanctified or made holy from. And so as you look at the bottom part of this, and we'll not go into all of that just yet, but it says sin keeps all people from God, and sin turns us away from God. And so when we have done these things without any help from God, from Jesus, which we'll also look at in this study, then it recognizes that we have turned ourselves away from God because of the sins that we have done. Okay, let me stop in a minute. Yes, James?
I think a couple good verses to put in that section. Obviously, Romans 3:23.
All have sinned, yep.
Yeah, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then three chapters later, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So everyone has sinned, and the earnings of our sin is death. So that's what we've earned, each one of us. There's no one that hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the workaround? And that's the purpose of religion. That's the purpose of a relationship with the Savior. Because we have no escape otherwise. And that's what we want people to know. That's what we were blessed to know.
That's right. And now as you look at the scriptures that are here, like sin keeps all people from God, One of those scriptures is Romans 3, 9 through 26, which would take in verse 23. But, I mean, the Romans 6, 23 is also a good passage. And so it's important for us, I mean, Romans, not 6, 23, 3, 23. And that's here. And what was the other one that you suggested, James?
3:23 and 6:23. I see 6:23 is in this list on the bottom right.
It is on the bottom right.
Yes.
And there's a there's a process here that we're wanting, you know, to try to help people to get to. Everything that we're doing, in a way, is a process, because we want to take people. You don't want to make people feel evil, or, you know, or that they didn't know God, for example, or they didn't know Jesus, but help them to come to know. They need to, and sometimes people don't realize that, well, yeah, I did that, you know. And so what we're trying to do is to help people to come to a knowledge that, yes, God is holy. Yes, I'm a sinner. What's the solution? Okay. So what I would do after looking at sin in this particular place, notice the arrows on the left. It goes down to Adam and Eve. And we're not going to read those scriptures. I'm assuming you know them. But I would ask the question is, when Adam and when Eve took of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and she gave it to Adam, and he ate of it, what happened? Do you remember?
That was sin. Their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked.
They sinned?
Mm-hmm. They hid from the Lord.
That's right. They sinned. Their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked. They realized that they had disobeyed God. And as they disobeyed God, and how many sins had they committed up to this point?
Well, I guess giving in to temptation.
Right, they were tempted, and they gave in to temptation and sinned, basically, it started with anyway, one time. Of course, Adam and Eve started digging their holes deeper, you know. She said, Satan made me do it, and Adam said, what? Yeah, that woman made me do it. That's right. Uh-huh. And so we see here the point that I want to make with going back to Adam and Eve is to help them see how many sins did it take for them to be separated from God? Just one sin. So if we sin one time, and you might use an illustration. Well, I mean, what I've used several times in talking about this is that a judge, a man goes before court, his son is going before court, and he's committed some crimes. And the father says, okay, stands up and says, I will take his punishment, like Jesus took our punishment on us. When we stand before God, if we sinned, I don't know how many times we might think about it, but let's just say we sinned once a week. That's 52 times a year. How old are you? I mean, if you're 10, that's 520 sins in 10 years, for example. If you went before a judge and you had sinned 500, you had committed 520 crimes, what's that judge going to do?
Throw the book at you.
Throw the book at you. You haven't learned. That's right. Throw away the key maybe too, right? But the point is that it takes really one sin, one crime, if you will, to go to jail sometimes. And so what we want to see, help people to see, is that even one sin before God is enough to be lost. Okay, then you go down to the next section. Sin brought physical and spiritual death. Of course, Genesis chapter 3. Which we see. Now, Adam was supposed to have lived, I think, 900 years after the point that this happened. So did he didn't die right away, did he?
No.
But did he die?
Yes.
He did. When did he die spiritually?
When he sinned.
When he sinned. See, when we sin, we die spiritually. Let's go to Romans 5, 12 through 14. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Speaking about Christ, that was to come also. But all sinned. And as we looked at the passage mentioned earlier in Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so as we, it's, you want light bulbs to come on with people. You understand? You want light bulbs to come on and recognize these things. As we studied about the Word of God, you want light bulbs, excuse me for the, you understand what I, you want some aha moments with them, okay? Like, oh yeah, right. I understand that the Bible is the Word of God. Oh yes, I see. Sin is what keeps me away from God. And real quick, 1 Corinthians 15:20-22. Romans, 1 Corinthians 15:20-22. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since a man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, as in Christ all will be made alive. Now, remember what we've looked at already. It says Adam, from Adam all die. We don't inherit Adam's sin. Because it says, what causes us to be lost? Our own sins, right? Our own sins. Christ has come to make us alive. And that's where we're going from here.
Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sins will die. Or
the soul that sins, it shall die. You don't sin, you don't die from the Father's son's sins, or the Father doesn't die from the Son's sins.
Also, the verse we were reading there earlier, verse 12, says, yes, sin came into the world by one man. Adam was the first
one. Right.
Sin. But, and death has spread to all men, not because of Adam's sin, because all have sinned.
Right.
That's the issue, right? It's not Adam's sin that makes me personally condemned. It's my own sin.
That's right, it's our own sin. And I am going a little faster than what I would do if I'm sitting down and studying with someone, because I'll ask them, what does this say to you? What is this? How do you understand this? You want them to look at it and think about it and try to say, yeah, this is what I, you know. And then, of course, you can always teach. But part of teaching is to help them to recognize it and understand it for themselves. You want people to know that the Bible is understandable, that they can understand what God is speaking to us about. Okay, then we would go over to the passage about sin keeps all people from God. We already talked about the Romans 3 passage. Let's go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? But do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. How far did I say?
Through 11.
Thank you. Yeah, such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Here we have more of those lists of sins. Is it possible for us to be forgiven from that?
11 says so. That's some of the best news that you'll find.
It is.
In verse 11, it doesn't matter what you were.
That's right.
And
it's important that you can really emphasize just that.
Yes.
God can make you clean from any sin.
Right.
It's not a matter what you were, but it's what you can be with Jesus. And let's look at Revelation 21:8. Right.
But Paul's writing that to the church at Corinth.
Yeah, I mean, that he said that's what some of you...
That's not what they were. That's not what they are now.
Right.
So I take great hope in that. Like James said, that we can all be redeemed. Because what we were is past tense. We can put that away.
And again, that's kind of the next step that we're going to go to, is that Jesus came to redeem us, and that that's such a great, in a way, transition verse to where we want to go about the cross. Let's read verse 8 here in Revelation 21:8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable, murderers and immoral persons, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire, brimstone, which is the second death. And we don't want to have, I mean, I would say to them probably, you don't want to have anything to do with that second death, do you? Second death meaning what? Meaning what? Hell. Eternal punishment. And I think it's important, and it says all liars, you know, too. I mean, it lists all these, what we would think of maybe, you know, cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, and then all liars. You know, there's just such big things, but we don't think that being cowardly or an unbelieving would be such a big thing compared to those other things. But they are. They are the same. They're the same.
Hey, Doug, I had a couple thoughts there.
Sure, please.
Your ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear.
That's a good passage.
And then there's a footnote right there in my Bible that goes back to chapter 1, verse 15, and I'll turn there for a second.
Okay.
Read verse 15 through 17.
Please.
He says, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow.
Very good.
So, and about faith is what you see in that passage. You know, it doesn't matter how often you pray. If you're not seeking the right kind of attitude, the right kind of behavior, your prayers aren't going to make you holy who aren't holy otherwise.
That's true.
Only that relationship with God, with Jesus, is going to cleanse you. It's going to make you clean.
You know, I think what you're one of the things I was thinking about as you were sharing those really good passages is that, you know, it's really hard in a study like this, or any study really, to try to generally to have all the passages, but it's good to have backup. It's good to have other scriptures backup that you have studied yourself, or you know, or you can look up. That sometimes people are convinced, but sometimes they need more sometimes too. And we're going to look at this. I've just been thinking today about, you know, the process of what we're going to do here. You know, we just handed out to you, see, the plan of salvation. Not every scripture that is in the Bible about hearing or believing and so on is listed there. but you want to have enough to take people to where they need to go. And then you can go further, because then the next study I would do after that, I just tell you, is going to be a study about being in Christ. You know, what it means to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have the blessings of being in Christ. And then I have the next study after that will be if then listing the different scriptures on baptism, and it's I have entitled, if this is what baptism does for you, what is your condition if you're not baptized? And so it's just sometimes, and some people need more. They need more. Very good. Okay, any other things and comments down through this point? Okay, let's go. And again, we're going to run out of time if we read all of these scriptures, but let's talk about some of it. The next idea that we want to do here, you notice, of course, if you're looking at this, you have sin here, right? What did Jesus come to do? To take our sin away. And so I point that out to people. Now look, what we're going to look at next, we've been talking about how sin is and how bad it is. How do we get rid of it? We get rid of it through Jesus Christ. And I take it over there, and that's what you want to look at here. And the first part of this is that all sin of all time Jesus took. That's what the emphasis of what we're doing here is, showing that not just our sin today, but Jesus died on the cross for all sin for all time. All the way back to Adam, Adam and Eve, if you will. And so what you begin to do here is to look at scripture that talks about that, how Jesus came to take away our sin. All these scriptures are good. Just think about, my point of mind, what we've just been talking about. Turn to Acts 2, 38 and 39. We know what Acts 2:38 says, right? Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39, "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God, our God, will call to himself." Now let's read on a little bit further even in this one. "And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." So he didn't, we don't have the whole sermon. You know, but he just kept on talking to them. We don't know how long he kept on talking to them. But he was about convincing them, persuading them what they needed to do. Did it work? Yes. About 3,000 people were baptized into Jesus Christ. 3,000 people. I wish I knew actually how many people were actually there, could actually hear him at this point in time. We know that Jerusalem was filled with all the people that was there for the Passover. But, to have a response like that, you realize that it would have taken the 12 all day long to baptize 12, that many people. That's pretty amazing. I guess the point that I wanted to show us, though, is that it takes continuation of study. And there was a study, and in itself it was a good study. When I was in college, it was called The Roman Road. Anybody hear about, know about, remember about seeing The Roman Road study? Anyway, it was a little pamphlet with maybe 5 or 6 pages with scriptures in it. And what the idea was is how you could bring someone to Christ with one, maybe hour of study. The idea is great, but very unrealistic. They did an Acts, they did an Acts here, but they were prepared for this by 3 years of Jesus' ministry. 3 years. And so, you know, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, verse 37. And he begins to tell them, and he tells them more, and then he tells them more, and then they're baptized.
But I think that really depends on the context and the person you're talking to. I think someone to obey the gospel in the right circumstance can happen very quickly. Yes, these are in Acts 2 there on Pentecost, there's a lot of Jewish practitioners, so they're not without understanding who God is, who Jehovah God is, and who the Messiah was. They were just mistaken about who he was, right? You know, about which person would be that Messiah. They were mistaken about that. And when they were convinced that this Jesus was the Messiah, then so they were not ignorant. They were just blind to that particular circumstance. But you see others, I think it's truth seekers, people who are seeking something, people who may have a pretty religious background and may have a basic understanding, and are truth seekers, could respond very quickly. Or some of them may be the most resistant, like the Pharisees, etc. We may have some denominational people who are very rooted in their religion that might be very have a defense up about certain things that the Bible teaches on topics that they are foreign to them, how they believe and how they've been taught. But I think for a truth seeker who has a genuine heart and recognizes they're in sin and wants a different way out of it, they are not going to know everything about the church doctrine. But they can know pretty quick about what their condition is and what they need to do about it.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
They can know that pretty quick, because we have some examples of that. You know, the Philippian jail, you know, the jailers and those people like that. Some of those people may not have much of a religious background, and they seem to respond pretty quick.
It's true. Okay, I guess the caution that I have...
It's not that we don't need to go deeper, certainly. I mean, you know.
There was two examples I'd like to share with you. And if you look at this sheet for just a minute, God's plan to save us from our sins... you'll notice something that's different here that is not generally in what we would call the plan of salvation. That because we don't have the last thing on the left-hand column, give your life to Jesus. Early in my ministry, I had several baptisms, but I guess you would say the retention rate of those people, unfortunately, was much lower than what I wished it to be. There was a college girl. We were working on a state college campus, and she had come to some of our classes and such, and we started studying with her. She was, what she liked so much was she was a rodeo. She was a barrel rider, rodeo rider, which doesn't make her bad or anything like that, but she took time to start studying with us. And we very quickly, she picked up the idea of what she needed to do, that she needed to be baptized, and she wanted to be baptized right away. And we did. But almost as fast as she was baptized, she figured, I guess she did, because we never really saw her much after that, except, really, you know, on the college campus, that she must have thought that she was saved and that's all she needed to do. She never made a commitment to Christ. And so, sometime after that time, when I started studying with people, I started talking about that you must die to yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Make a commitment. It's really important that what you're doing is not just following these steps, but you have to make a commitment to Christ. And therefore, take it, jump out to Ukraine. The second year we were in Ukraine, we were studying, took school age and some college age students to the Black Sea, and we'd been studying with most of them for some time. One of the girls that came shortly before we went to camp, and she came to us and said, I've been going to a Baptist church, and I don't believe that what they've been teaching about baptism is correct. Can we study together? And we did. She went to camp with us. She was baptized at camp. She came back. It was okay for the first couple weeks until she met a worldly boy. And then she went after him. And no matter what we would say or talk to her, she didn't have, she didn't, I don't know all there is to it. You can't read behind what people do. But she, we didn't have time to really, we taught the plan of salvation to her because that's what we thought she needed. She needed to learn how to be baptized in the biblical way. And she fell away very fast. And again, I'm not saying it's not possible because I did see people that came to Christ on a short-term basis, if you want a quick basis, and stayed faithful. So it's not impossible. But I found that while we were working there, our retention rate was between 90% to 95% because of just a simple change of really studying with people about what it meant to make a commitment to Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're right.
I think that's risking their soul because we don't know whether they have tomorrow or not.
Well, that's kind of the way it was with her. Yeah. And with her, by the way, her dad also was baptized at the same time.
One of the things that Brother Mayo, when he came and spoke to us, he said his motto as far as, trying to evangelize was, he's a missionary, right? He works in Thailand. So his motto is go, teach, baptize, teach. So the process doesn't end at baptism. It isn't say, well, you're a Christian. Good luck to you.
No, that's true.
Our obligation is to nurture the souls of those who we have been a part of their conversion. And I think we do that to some degree, but maybe not to the degree we should. They didn't want to be taught. They were satisfied with where they were, and that's on them. But it's on us, too. I can see both sides of the conversation for sure, and I think they're both very valid.
I want someone to make sure they know what they're doing. It's not a matter about, and if someone says they came forward and responded that to an invitation about being baptized and they want to be baptized, yes, I would baptize them, okay? But I think it's so much better for them to understand that this is just not just an act of following disobedience, but it's a matter of giving your heart and your life to Christ. And if they make that decision ahead of time, if they make that decision and can understand what it means, then they're much more likely to stay in Christ and stay in faithful to Him. Okay, well, our time tonight is running short. We will study, our next study will be God's plan. I encourage you to study that. We really didn't get all the way through it, but I think we got through it enough for you to understand where we're going with this last study. Next Wednesday night, I am going to be going to a church in Carbondale to talk about Ukraine. And so we won't have this class. I still have a service here in Bible study, but not this study next Wednesday night. Okay, now as we listen to this and as we sum it up and put it all together, God is holy. Sin takes us away from God. Jesus Christ is the answer and the solution to any of our sins. He died on the cross to take our sins away. And that when we understand that, then we need to turn to Him. We need to hear what He has to say through His Word and believe in Him. Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, then you stand condemned. But when you believe and obey Him, and are repent from your sins and are baptized into him, then you can come and be one with him and die to your sins and be raised to walk in newness of life. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
Watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power.
God in prayer here in just a moment. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep in mind those that are identified in our bulletin and all their health concerns, the struggles that they're dealing with, and maybe we can encourage them. We can lift them up. Certainly among that group is our sister Naoma and the challenges that she's having with her heart, her lungs, her back. She can hardly see or hear, and she's just struggling in a lot of ways. And of course, her husband is there to support her, and I'm sure he's feeling the burden as well. And maybe he could use our encouragement. Dustin, who they have cared for a lot of years, is going to be moving out of their home because they are advancing in age as they are. And he's going to be going to live in a home here in Harrisburg. And
that's going to be on May 1st.
May 1st, so very, very soon. He's looking forward to it in a way perhaps, but I think it's really going to push him. He's going to potentially struggle with that, and they will too. So let's remember that family. Let's remember all who are shut in, who can't be with us. We identify them by name oftentimes, and they're still in our thoughts. But Jack and Millie Keene, maybe we can take opportunity to go by and visit them some. And Catherine Wright and Evelyn Belt, Rose Beattie, I think has not welcomed company because of her health concerns and things like that. So, but if you can send a text message or anything, I don't know how you contact her really, but certainly prayers are worthwhile and a good way to communicate with God always. Anything further before we go to God in prayer? My wife and daughter are on their way to East Tennessee tonight. Going to look for a place for Michaela to call home for a little while. And you remember them in your prayer. That would be helpful, I think. All right, if there's nothing further, let's go to God in prayer. Righteous God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, we're so humbled Father, that though we've sinned, though we have transgressed and defiled ourselves with unrighteousness, Father, you loved us and you made that way of return. Father, you made atonement a possibility for us through Jesus, your Son. And we come together tonight as the church of our Lord and Savior, those who are blessed to call ourselves Christian only because we have a Savior that is fit as our King and our sacrifice and our Lord. Father, we want to honor you with our lives. We want to honor you with our thoughts and our speech and our actions. And in all ways, Father, imitate Jesus and be more of what you expect of us to be. Father, we're not righteous on our own. We're not perfect, but we are perfected and made whole and well because of the blood of Jesus, that precious Lamb. We thank you for that hope that you gave to us, and it's available for all mankind. All those who are hearing this tonight, if they haven't obeyed your gospel, can and should before it's too late, and we don't know when that time is. So, Father, I pray that more might come to know Jesus, that we might take seriously our obligation to spread this gospel. We've been working through this personal evangelism class, and it's a commitment that we have to make, Father, because there's lost souls all around us. They're in our community. They're in our workplace. They're in our own families, even. Father, we know there's honest souls out there that haven't heard the truth, and they will respond. So help us to seek them out, to share with them that message that saves. Father, continue your mercy on all those that we've mentioned in our announcements for those that are on our prayer list and our bulletin and such. We pray that your hand would be merciful to each one of them, just as you know their needs better than we do. But Father, help us to not use that as an excuse not to know one another, to not reach out and encourage and just be the kind of people that we're called upon to be. Father, from my own household, I pray that my family's safe traveling tonight and others perhaps who are doing the same thing. Father, we ask that you would be with them and with each one of us as we depart tonight. We'll all be going to our homes and we pray that you'll take us there safely. We look forward to coming together again on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, where we can glorify you in a public way in this assembly. Father, bless your church. Bless those who are living for you in places that are adverse, in places that it's a challenge to tell the good works of Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray that they'll keep their faith. They'll stay strong and grow stronger. And because of their commitment, Father, many lost souls will know truth and believe and obey. Father, go with us and forgive us, guide us in all ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll give that one back to you. I've got an extra one. I had my whole lunch and bring it.
What? Your folder?
Yeah, I'll give you back.